Okay, so before I talk about video game fan fiction, I should explain to you who I am. I do live here in San Francisco. I am a video game journalist, so I write for places like The Economist, The Village Voice, Forbes, places you can't talk about sex as much as we're going to talk about right now. So, this talk is called Princess Peach the Porn Star. It's about erotic video game fan fiction, as opposed to science fiction fan fiction. I don't know how much you know about video games, but if I say something you don't know where it's coming from, feel free to shoot a hand up, and I will answer you in the middle of talking. I have that power. Also, I guess I'll just make a little sign when I want you to change the slide. So, change the slide. Thanks. So, today we are talking about video games. Specifically, we're talking about what happens when video game fans love these games so much that they decide to write their own stories about them. And the part that really interests us is that these stories often involve sex. But we're going to take a couple steps back and think this through before we get to the sex part. So right now we're just at video games and fans and what happens when they really, really like games, like the small child you see here. So, video games are already pretty sexy. I read a lot about sex in games. I know that there are some other people here that do too. And there are games that have sexy video game characters in them, like Lara Croft. There are games, mainstream games, that have sex in them, like Grand Theft Auto, the hot coffee issue that took place a couple years ago. And there are games dedicated entirely to sex, like Virtually Jenna. You see a shot here from one of the Virtually Jenna clones. But we're actually not going to talk about any of that. Instead, we're going to talk about games that seem to have absolutely nothing to do with sex. These are games like Super Mario Brothers, Legend of Zelda. They involve characters that you see over and over again, often childish characters. There's really not very much sex taking place here. There are beautiful princesses. Sometimes you see upskirt shots of these beautiful princesses if the wind is blowing the right way. So that's about as sexy as it gets in these games. This is Peach, if you don't know her, and a very well-timed upskirt shot from Super Smash Bros. Brawl. Very classy. There are whole videos of her and of her skirt. So the fans themselves. There are lots of different types of fans. There are fans of all different ages, fans who are male, fans who are female, fans who are hardcore, fans who are more casual. And, so all fans have different ways of expressing their fandom. Especially in the video game community, it's pretty common to do things to express your fandom. So not just sit around and love games, but to actually make things. So there's a big movement, if you happen to follow such things, of game cakes. These are cupcakes made for Super Mario Brothers. And crafts. So this is a needlepoint for the Xbox 360. And there are tons of these things. But the other way that people express their intense fandom is through writing stories. So that leads us to fan fiction. Fan fiction is a pretty basic way of interacting with a story by creating a story of your own. If you haven't run into it yet, possibly with these guys, it's all over the internet. It can happen for TV shows, it can happen for anime, but in this case we're specifically talking about stories that fans write about video games. So, while it may seem like writing a story is a pretty elaborate way to express how much you like a video game, it happens all the time. Fanfiction.net is one of the biggest collections of fan fiction out there on the internet. And for video games, there are literally hundreds of thousands of stories cataloged on this site. Some of the more popular games, for example, the Final Fantasy games, have 50,820 stories just on this one site. Zelda games, so all the games in the Legend of Zelda series, have 12,444. Sonic the Hedgehog, which is the small blue hedgehog, not a particularly sexy character, he has 12,156. And the Kingdom Hearts characters have 37,444. 341. So you see here, the characters that are popular, the video games that are popular, are the ones that have sort of childish characters. They have multiple games in a series, and they're characters that people can follow throughout time. It's not the Grand Theft Autos, it's not the Mass Effects, these big, realistic games that you see on Fox News as being so sexy. This is not what people are writing fan fiction about. So, who is writing these fan fiction stories? It's hard to tell, but we have an assumption, first of all, these are young people. Okay, so young people, and specifically, we think in the video game world, young male people, although, as the last presenter mentioned, there's a sort of history of women writing specifically erotic video game fiction. So one of the things that keys us into that is that the spelling and grammar in these stories sometimes leave something to be desired. So we're not dealing with amazing literature. We're dealing with literature that's produced on a very individual fan level. If you go and you take a sampling of these stories, for example, a lot of them have ages listed with them. The ages themselves often say between 18 and 25. You can believe that or you can't. I know I myself was 16 for a really long time online before I was even 12. So take it or leave it. Okay. So if you browse through these video game fan fiction collections, you notice something pretty quickly. And that's that there's a lot of sex here. More often than not, these aren't necessarily adventure stories. They're sex stories. They're stories of what fans want to see from their characters. And a lot of times, that's pretty domestic sex scenes. So, for example, if we go to the Zelda category, where we had thousands of stories, we have a story called Twilight Love, which is about Link and Midna. Midna is a character from Twilight Princess, the most recent big Zelda release. She's a little female imp. You can see her there. She's not the traditionally hottest character in the world. But this is a story about a romantic dinner between Link and Midna and how they make sweet love at the end of the evening. It's very touching. And in the Sonic category, for example, we have a story called Nectar Sweet, in which Tails, who is this adorable orange guy behind me, hits puberty and starts to fantasize about how he can have multi-tailed sex. Also very touching, a coming-of-age story. So just for Sonic, for example, Tails comes from the Sonic universe. There are 600 stories on fanfiction.net that are rated mature for sexual content, just for this specific game. So there's a lot out there. So this goes beyond what we call Rule 34. Rule 34 states that whatever you can think of, somebody has made a porn for it. Here you see one of the many Rule 34 websites with Sarah Palin lovingly rendered in sexual mode. But when you're talking about thousands and thousands of video game fan fiction stories, this isn't just Rule 34. This is a real trend. We're seeing how people are really responding to video games. So we have a sample for you from one of these stories. I don't know if you've ever read a piece of erotic video game fan fiction. But if not, you're about to hear what one sounds like. This is an excerpt from Twilight Love. For a little context for you, Link has just come back from running through the woods. Midna, the small imp you saw before, has made him dinner. And they're about to settle into a romantic evening. So, Link stood, walked over, and kissed Midna gently. Midna hesitated for a second before kissing back. Link picked up the little imp and carried her to her room, settling her on the bed. She looked up to him and smiled. He was starting to get hard, and she could tell. Quickly, she undid his belt and let his breeches drop. He kissed her lightly and smiled. He rubbed her thigh and smiled when he felt, to his surprise, she was wet. She moaned and looked at his engorged penis. She had never been one to be on her knees, but that didn't stop her. She got to the floor and licked his penis gently before taking it in her mouth. Not softcore stuff. This is serious, you know, hardcore erotica, dealing with a game that's oriented towards younger players. Okay? Let's hear from another story. So this one is called Nectar Sweet. This is the one about Tails, the small fuzzy orange fox, and Tails' entrance into manhood. She led me into a dark room, only lit by a single candle. "What are we doing here?" I asked, knowing the answer already. Her response was a wink and a shut of the door. My stomach was in knots, and I could barely keep from passing out. Her facial features showed an immense amount of lust, which didn't help cease my stomach. "Tails," she whispered, softly stepping closer to me. My breath intensified, and her smile deepened by every stuttered sentence I attempted to speak. I started to open my mouth to speak, but she put a finger to my lips, forcing me to stop. She put her arms around my head and pulled me towards her, into a soft kiss. We stood there for a few minutes, hours, who knows. We were lost in our own worlds, but just as suddenly as it started, she pulled away. "Cosmo, we..." I was silenced by her action of removing the blouse she wore, revealing her most private areas. So you see here there's a sort of pet name going on. There's also a bit of confusion about anatomy. She removes her blouse, and that reveals her most private areas. I'm not quite sure if there's an understanding there of where someone's traditionally private areas live. These are also pretty decent examples of fiction, right? They're not perfect, but the sentences are all there, the spelling's all there. This isn't bad as fan fiction goes. So, that's the slide motion. Thanks. So, when we're faced with stories like this, and keep in mind that there are thousands and thousands of these stories, the question that we have to ask ourselves is why? From a cultural analysis standpoint, what drives literally thousands of fans to react to stories, you know, to react to video games that we see as childish or we see as totally PG? Why do they react to them with a sexual response, and specifically the sexual response to write stories? So, when you ask people this question and you see what they think on the topic, you get a couple pretty basic responses. Response number one is fans have crushes on their favorite characters and they want to see them, or at least imagine them, naked. Not just naked, but getting it on. What's so complicated about that? That, to me, is far too simple an answer. Answer number two. These stories are written by hormone-driven gamers who have recently hit puberty themselves and don't know where to put their sexual energy. Everything they touch turns to sex, so why not fan fiction? Okay, still far too simple. Number three. This is a way for younger fans to approach sex in a way that's comfortable. Writing about sex abstractly, talking about real people having sex, can be intimidating. If you're young, you're just getting used to these concepts and the way that your body is reacting. Fan fiction lets younger people approach sex with characters they already know, characters they already like, characters they don't feel intimidated by. That's why, for example, Link and Midna, who are normally out battling evil, fighting people with swords, instead they're at home eating dinner and then having sex. This is a totally normal domestic version of some pretty exciting stories, and it's because it's safe. Okay, that one's a little more decent. Still not the answer we're looking for, though. So, another one. Why do fans write about sex? Because it's what games don't give them. So, in most games, especially games like Mario or Zelda, you see a hero rescue a princess. Well, what happens after the hero rescues the princess? That you don't see. And that, this theory goes, is what you want to see. So that's what you're writing about. You're writing about the experience of your characters outside of the video games you know them in. That equals sex. Also a decent answer. But this last one is the one that we're going for. And that is that there's something innately sexual about the act of writing video game fan fiction. We're going to have to back up and justify that one a bit, though. So, this is what we want. Something sexual about writing video game fan fiction. So, what that would do is explain, for example, why such a high percentage of these video game fan fiction pieces that are being written are sexual. Right? The other explanations explain why a few people here and there may feel that way. This explains why these stories really crop up all over the place in the thousands and thousands that exist. Specifically, what we want to talk about is an idea of control. We're going to say that control is what's innately sexual here. So let's think about this idea of control. So, in video games, unlike other forms of entertainment, you often have a good deal of control. A movie you watch, you can have your own response to, but you don't have much control over what happens. In a video game, you actually can tell characters what to do. We have here an image of The Sims, which is a game in which you can control people's lives, essentially. You can tell them when to eat, when to use the bathroom, whom to flirt with, right? We have a shot here from a first-person shooter game that you can control who to shoot, which weapons to choose, who to harm, right? That's a good deal of control. However, that's not the whole story. So, video games, while they tease you with control, also have a surprising lack of control. So, you're working within a very set path of what you can do, what you can't do. You see here a Mario game, which this one is a bit complicated, but for the most part is 2D. You can only work within a certain dimension. You can only do certain things at a certain time. You have control, but you're very constrained. And that's going to create a sense of tension. Next slide. So, we're teased with control. Control gets taken away from us. We have this tension building over that. So what we want to do is take back control. Taking back control means taking back the characters that we know and love in our own artistic form. So when somebody writes a piece of fan fiction, they're not just writing a story that comes out of their own head. They're writing a story with characters they know from video games. They're taking that artistic creation, they're putting it in their own story, and in their own story, telling these characters what they want to do. They've literally taken artistic control away from the video game makers and put it into their own hands. This is a response to the control dynamics, the power dynamics, inherent in video games themselves. You can see that represented here by, this is the character Velvet from Odin Sphere, being tastefully restrained in a piece of video game fan art. So, this is Peach looking very shocked at tension. So you can tell right there that that dynamic is a sexual dynamic. When we're talking about push and pull and tension, you've created a sexual dynamic in the act of writing fan fiction. So it's this act of reclaiming and this act of taking control over what already teased you with control. So once you're already in that sexual state, once you're already in that state of tension, what do you think is going to come out of your fingertips when you sit down to write a piece of fan fiction? It's not so surprising that such a large percentage of people end up writing about sex when this is the dynamic going on in their mind. So, what I would argue in conclusion, and it seems like I've reached a very fast conclusion in comparison to the other presenters, actually, is that this act of taking artistic control and writing a piece of fan fiction is itself a sexual act. So you see Samus Aran here, still lovingly being restrained and enjoying a fun sexual time. But this itself, this act of drawing a character and specifically of writing a character from a video game, is a response to control and is a sexual response to control. So that leads us to where we are today with so many fan fiction stories being about sex, and with a valid explanation for it. So the only question left is, where do we go from here? There's a lot of talk about sex in video games itself, and where will it go from here? And it seems like the only place to go is to take a video game like Virtually Jenna, which is all about sex. This is Jenna Jameson in her virtual form. She's available for sex with you at any time, as long as you pay the subscription fee. You know, I wonder, maybe we should start writing stories about her. To me, she's on the floor cleaning the carpet in this picture. So I kind of wonder, what can we come up with? You know, virtually Jenna in her everyday life. Jenna does the dishes, Jenna vacuums, Jenna cleans the carpet. This is the new Slash. What's that? That too. She does look lost. So yeah, that is all I have to say to you right now. But I'm happy to take any questions. I've messed up the order.
No, no problem.
Streaming. You know the streaming.
The microphone? Okay.
Yeah, it is. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I have a question about the
when a writer puts themselves in place of the character. If I interpret most writers in this genre being very young, they're trying to understand their role in the world sexually. So my take on this, I don't know if this is correct or not, is that they're trying to experiment in a completely safe way for themselves.
Yeah, to me that's definitely part of explanation number three, okay, which is you're looking for a safe place to enjoy sex, a safe place to experiment with sex. And it's true, for example, in this story we looked at, Nectar Sweet, which is technically about tales, it sounds a lot like it's about a 12-year-old boy. You know, it's supposed to be about a fox, but it's, to me, very clearly about the author and his sexual fantasies with the screen, with the skin of a video game.
Hi, that was super interesting. I thought about a couple of comparisons to Slash. In Slash fiction writing, there is there's an element of challenge. In other words, if it's X-Files, you don't put Mulder and Krycek together, the two pretty boys. You put Mulder together with Skinner, his bald boss, you know. So I see a little bit of that in putting together improbably sexual creatures. Mm-hmm. It's kind of an interesting challenge. The other thing is that Slash fans put a lot of emphasis on writing for each other. Mm. In other words, they very much think of it as a gift economy, you know, and nobody's making any money off of it, you know, but so it's a gift. I'm going to write something that is going to turn you on so much. So I was wondering if there was any of that. I mean, in your discussion of it, it seemed to be more about self-expression and self-exploration. But I was wondering about the relationship between the people who are writing.
I think for me there's also a difference between my interpretation, the interpretation of someone analyzing this kind of writing, and the interpretation of someone writing it. I don't think that most people are sitting down with this approach in mind when they write this fiction. That doesn't mean you can't read it that way or make a conversation about it, but I think that you're probably right. I think most people are writing either as gifts or almost as a way of showing off.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of intros to video game fiction will be, you know, teasers for what could possibly be inside, and you have to wait until chapter 4 to get there, to the moment when Tails actually does have sex.
Yeah.
It's a lot of that sort of self-bolstering, less than a direct gift economy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
But thanks.
Okay, more questions, please. Yes. Oh my. Would be nice, because for the stream it's better that we can hear your question. Thanks a lot.
Sorry, I missed the beginning of your presentation, but which is very good, by the way. Pre-internet, pre-BBSs, that sort of thing, did you find any examples of slash fiction in your research?
Well, that's hard, because the history of video games doesn't go back too much farther than the history of the internet. There are certainly games that exist.
Oh, it goes back to maybe at least 5 years earlier.
Well, okay. Are there specific games you're thinking of? Because I can address
Is there Donkey Kong slash fiction? I'm really interested in.
Oh, I'm sure. As something that's repeated throughout different games, I'm sure there must be. I can.
Or Pong? Just Pong?
Oh, I don't know about Pong. Things that are directly sexual in nature, like Custer's Revenge, tend not to have so much slash because they are themselves sexual. There's no, as an early example.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Too late.
I guess the point is there aren't decades and decades of history of video games that predate the internet the way that there are decades of internet or TV culture. Fair enough.
I said one could ask the historical question if you wanted to look at comparative genres. Had anybody written sexual fiction about Monopoly or some other kind of board game like that?
I haven't run across any, but has anyone seen anything? Analog game, erotic fiction?
Well, I can tell you I had it in my mind around the game Life.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I guess there must be some kind of, like, for example, Lord of the Rings slash fiction, even from the 50s and 60s, I guess. There must be something like that.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure that Jens is right, that, like, pretty much the kickstart of slash fiction was Star Trek in the 60s. But there's definitely, I mean, it's slash fiction and nerd culture, I think they're the perfect match. I mean, yeah.